Hello, I'm Coach Jenny Hadfield, and welcome to the running webinar, How to Train for Your First 5K. You can watch it or download the MP3 file and listen to it on the run. It's geared to teach you how to be your best runner, train up for a 5K race, and have fun along the way. I'm going to be honest with you. Running never came easy for me. In fact, I used to hate running. But crossing the finish line of my first 5K changed my life forever. Drumming up the courage to start the race fueled a newfound confidence that led me to tackle other challenges in my life, and reaching that finish line ignited the start of a whole new active lifestyle for me. I always wanted to run, but every time I tried to run, I'd make it to the end of the block, only to start to cry because it wasn't fun at all. In fact, it was painful. Then I'd promptly drag myself back home and toss my shoes in the closet. Each time I vowed to quit, never to return again until I would see my softball coach, Rosemary, run by with a smile so bright she could light up Texas. I wanted to run, I just couldn't figure out how and didn't think I had the body of a runner. That was until I started my very first day at an internship at a corporate fitness center in Milwaukee. All of my coworkers were runners, which I found quite intimidating as I couldn't even make it down the block without tears. But runners being runners, they challenged me to run a 5K with them at the end of the summer. I promptly explained to them that there's no way I was going to do that. I wasn't a runner. I hated running. I would do anything but run. Clean the toilets, small filing, errands, laundry, scrub the bathroom floor with a toothbrush. You get my point. I was not going to run that race. But what happened next turned out to be the most pivotal moment in my life. They asked me to give them 3 weeks and encouraged me to train with them at lunch. They also helped me devise a training program that tuned in and started with where I was fitness-wise, a couch potato. So that meant I started with 20 minutes of walking and slowly built up to run walking and eventually running 30 minutes. Turns out the combination of an enticing goal, aka a t-shirt, a supportive group, and a program that started with a humble fitness beginning, couch potato, was all I needed to tap into my inner runner. It worked. I finished and it didn't even matter that I was almost last and beaten by a 72-year-old man. At the end of the day, I went from a chubby, out-of-shape intern to a runner in a matter of weeks, and you can too. I loved it so much I eventually quit my job to coach runners to find their finish lines. Long story short, if I can do it, you can too. And here are a few tips to get started on your journey to your first 5K. Start from where you are rather than where you want to be. My greatest mistake was running too fast, too far, too soon for my fitness level, as we now know was a couch potato. The key to my success was identifying first where my fitness level was, couch, and then starting from that point and slowly progressing week by week. For me, that meant walking for 20 minutes, which I could do happily and finish feeling strong. Now, there are a lot of great 5K training programs out there. You can find my free 5K training programs at coachjenny.com. And the goal when developing your training plan is to have the first week of that training program closely match that of your current fitness program. If you're like me, coming off the couch and inactive, start with walking. If you're doing some exercise but not consistently, consider a walk-running program where you repeat intervals of mostly walking with some running mixed in. If you're exercising regularly but new to running, I'd start with a run-walk program that includes mostly running with some walking to recover and allow your body time to adapt to those impact forces of running. And if you're running here or there and exercising regularly, I'd start with a continuous running program 3 to 4 times per week. Most of those programs are called beginning running programs, and that's the case on my site, coachjenny.com as well. The secret to quick results is to start from where you are fitness-wise, have patience to progress gradually, and be consistent. The aim is to reach the finish line of your first running workout feeling strong rather than crying or completely exhausted like I was. A happy finish, where you think, I could do this again, and actually want to because it feels so darn good. That leads to you doing the next workout, and then the next workout, and the next workout, and that creates momentum and a brand new active habit. Define your carrot. There's nothing more motivating than to have a goal or a carrot right ahead of you to keep you motivated. And registering for a 5K will serve as your motivation to get you in shape and keep you training regularly and consistently. Now, the difference between exercising and training for an event is that every workout is purposeful when you're training, and you're less likely to miss a session if you have that target ahead. Whether this is your first race or you're getting back into shape, running that 5K is a great way to succeed at learning to run and you get to earn a great shirt too. Accessorize. Shopping for running shoes and apparel is a lot of fun, but it's also necessary. The essentials include a supportive pair of fitted running shoes, technical wicking socks, if you're of the female species, a sports bra for high impact activity, and a sports watch. Sure, there are a lot of fun toys you can purchase along the way, but the best place to start your journey is to get professionally fitted for your shoes at a local running specialty store, because stride for stride, they will support you through to the finish line. It's best to shop for your shoes at the end of the day when your feet are swollen from the day's activities, and be prepared to try on several pair. The staff should watch you walk and run in the shoes to make sure they work for your foot type, and the shoe should feel comfortable. If it's not, keep looking for another pair of shoes. And finally, use your new shoes only for your running workouts to avoid wearing them down more quickly, and aim to replace them every 300 to 500 miles. Every shoe is different, every runner is different, so it's great, a great thing to keep track of in your training log. And also helpful is mark the date that you purchased on the side of your shoe with a Sharpie marker to keep tabs on the life of the shoes. Listen to your body while you train. Our bodies actually grow stronger when we're resting, and training is the process that includes strategically placed workouts and rest days to allow your body to be stressed by the activity, good stress, and then recover from the rest days while you're resting. Now, many people make the mistake of overtraining, and I am in that list of people. By running too much too soon, too far too soon, it's not like Twitter folks. It happens over a period of time because running is a very high-impact, demanding sport. It just takes time to adapt to it. And when you do too much too soon, you end up with an injury or aches or pains or fatigue, lack of motivation, those types of things. It doesn't have to be the case, though, if you listen to your body for aches and pains or just the fatigue along the way. If your body is giving you a yellow flag, and that could come in the form of just really tired legs, which we call dead legs, having lack of motivation, having aches and pains that just don't subside or go away, take an extra day off and adjust your training to allow that full recovery. Now, you can do an active rest day, which means another activity like cycling or a class at the gym, something that's lower in impact and lower in intensity. So you're actively moving, but you're not doing running activity to allow your body to rest. And if your body still hurts while you're doing those activities, it's better off to take a complete rest day. And in most cases, when you do that, when you listen and you modify and adjust, 1 or 2 days later, your body's fine. It's when you push through and you don't listen to that yellow flag that now all of a sudden you've got that red flag and you've got a more serious situation. Additional ways to improve your recovery is to get at least 7 to 8 hours of quality sleep every night, eat a well-balanced meal throughout the day, reduce your stress levels, and again, train by your body rather than a strict plan on paper, which means ultimately be flexible. The key to progressing rapidly and training successfully is to run by your effort level or how your body is feeling in the moment, rather than trying to hit a certain pace on your watch. When you tune into your body and you run by your breathing rate and your perceived effort, you'll always run in the right zone or the optimal zone on that given day. And since you're training for your first 5K, the goal effort level or zone for all the workouts is easy, or what I call conversational effort, where you can talk easily about the movie that you saw last night to your buddy, or if you're alone, you can recite the Pledge of Allegiance or any paragraph that you know by heart. This is called the talk test, and it's an effective strategy for knowing whether you're in the right training zone on that given day. If you can talk easily, you're in the easy zone. If you're having a hard time talking out loud and you have to get a word out edgewise or gasp for air or you're reaching for air, you're working too hard, you need to slow it down a little bit. And it's important to note that if you're in the walking program or the continuous running program, like my beginning run plan where you're running continuously, this is a great tool to make sure you're in the easy effort zone while you're walking in both of those plans. For example, if you're in an interval run-walk program where you're running and then you're walking, you're running and you're walking, your effort level is going to vary from the conversational while you're walking to a moderate zone where you're breathing a little bit harder while you're running. And then as your body adapts and grows stronger and you're able to run longer without those walking breaks, you'll be able to eventually run in an easy zone. But if you're first starting off and running is new to you, it's important to note that you're probably not going to get to a conversational effort right away because running is an intense activity and your body has to adapt to that. That said, when you're in a running interval, you want to be at an effort level where you can hear your breath, but you're not reaching for air. You're not gasping for air and thinking, oh my gosh, when is this going to be over? If that's the case, you're likely running too fast or too far for your current fitness level, and you need to dial it back a little bit. Long story short, it's better to train by how your body feels in the day and by your breath than a planned pace, because there are so many variables that affect your performance on any given day, including lack of sleep, nutrition, stress, your cycle, overall fatigue. If you go by your pace, let's say you go by a normal pace, let's say you go out and you know you're doing an 11-minute pace, and normally that's easy for you, and you have a couple of nights where you don't sleep, you don't eat well, you're completely stressed, and you're on your cycle. That'll be a fun week, won't it? That normal 11-minute pace that's normally easy for you on that given day will be a hard pace, and that will have an outcome on the next workout because you won't be recovered because you pushed harder than you should have on that schedule. So it affects the next workout and the next workout and the next workout, and it carries over. And that's how you end up fatigued, suffering in your performance, or just plain hurt. Not to mention, it's quite freeing to let go of that pace on your watch. Time and pace are merely the outcome of the run. I'm going to repeat that because it's so important. Your time or your pace on your watch are merely the outcome of the run. It tells you how you did on that day. Breathe. Running requires a lot more oxygen than when you're at rest. And efficient breathing is the key to getting the needed oxygen to the working muscles so that you can run. Breathing through your nose and your mouth from deep within your belly is the way to go. Because when you start moving more rapidly in a high intensity activity like running, your body needs oxygen. Your muscles work from the oxygen that flows through your mouth and your nose. So if you're trying to get that air in as rapidly, the volume of air increases, and you're trying to get that in through your nose and you have congestion, it's not going to work. Trust me, I've tried. So if you're one of those folks that really struggles with that, open your mouth, breathe through your mouth and your nose. It works much, much better. And like dancing to the beat of a good tune, try linking your breathing tempo with your foot strikes, breathing in every 2 to 4 steps and out every 2 to 4 steps. You'll breathe more efficiently and you'll get more oxygen to those muscles. If you find that you're gasping for air, slow down. If you're at a 1-to-1 count where you're inhaling and exhaling stride for stride, most likely you're at a pace that is way too challenging and your body's not going to be able to keep up. And we already talked about this, so slow it down. And that's also a great way of determining when you're counting those strides per breath, of determining what your effort level is too. If you're really working hard and breathing in and out stride for stride, you're running really too fast and in that hard zone, slow it down. If you Google how to warm up for running, you will be inundated with 1,000 different ways of how to warm up for running. Some say you should stretch, some say you shouldn't, some say active warm-up exercises are the key, others say don't. You know what I say? I say keep it simple. Just like if you were learning how to play golf, you would not be focused on how to spin the ball in your first few months. You'd be focused on how to hit the ball, period. So the easiest, most efficient way to warm up for your runs is to think like you're merging onto an expressway. Invest 3 to 5 minutes, 5 minutes is better, and start with an easy walk and gradually progress it to an increased walking speed, a purposeful effort. Not window shopping. This is going to gradually increase your heart rate, your circulation to the working muscles, your breathing, and it's going to warm your muscles up for the demands of the run ahead. When you're done with a workout portion, simply reverse the warm-up and gradually cool things down by walking briskly first and then eventually slowing that down to bring your body back to its resting state, its normal state. Finish with 5 minutes of flexibility exercises and you're golden. It's no more complicated than that, folks. And when you progress to more experienced running, you can evolve it to include more variables if you wish. The warm-up and the cool-down are just as important as the workout itself, the running portion, as it is the segue to the expressway, your running workout. And your body runs a lot more smoothly when you're slowly merging on to that run rather than just starting right up from the get-go. Warm up and cool down. This one's optional, but it's so important that I am going to talk about it. Including total body strengthening exercises 2 times per week is so important. Many of us sit, I'm sitting right now, sitting and inactivity can create imbalance in your musculature that you're not going to solve with running or with walking. A great way of solving that is to strengthen, focusing on a balanced total body strengthening program. It doesn't need to take you 30 or 60 minutes. You can do it in a matter of 5 or 10 minutes, to be quite frank. But what it's going to do is going to build balanced strength in your musculature, in your tendons, and your joints. And developing that strength is going to support your body as you run mile for mile, because running, as we all know, is very high impact and it's demanding on the body. It's also going to help you improve your efficiency and your form while decreasing the risk of developing any kinds of injuries out of imbalance. Now, this can be done with a class at your gym, a strengthening class, a DVD that you love, personal trainer, free weights, body resistance exercises like push-ups or lunges. I've got a minimalist strength and flexibility program on my website, coachjenny.com, that you can download. You can do both of those in 10 minutes or less. And that's all you really need to start off with. If you want to get into more and evolve it later on, that's fine, but it's all about getting in some amount of balanced strengthening exercises. Mix up your routine as well. Run one day, strength train or cross train the next, because variety works a lot of muscle groups and keeps your workouts fresh and motivating. So you're always looking towards a different type of activity. You run today, tomorrow you might cross train or strength train, the next day you'll run again. Alternating a run day with cross training allows your body time to adapt and recover and your mind to stay fresh. Find your style and love your style. In many ways, running is like shopping for jeans. We all have different strengths, speeds, and styles. And there's no one running style or speed that's perfect for everybody, that fits everybody. That is the ultimate. You may run faster than your friend. She may cruise by you. Avoid comparing yourself to your buddy, because there will forever be faster and slower runners than you. Some people progress faster and adapt faster, while others, like me, take longer to improve. It's just the way it is. Speed is relative, and it's a good measure of your success. Most likely, someone is looking at you and wishing they could have the running form that you have, run as fast as you can. So if you're out there and you're crawling along, or you think that you're crawling along, it's all relative, folks, because there's someone that's driving by or on a bike just wishing that they were doing what you were doing, and you're looking, making it look like it's so easy. So it's all relative. Focus on your running career and where your footsteps are taking you. And like jeans, we all have a pair that fits our style. Think of food as fuel for your next run. You are what you eat, and your workouts are fueled by the foods that you choose to eat every day. It can be helpful to keep a log of what you consume daily, as it'll give you a better perspective of what's going into your system. A lot of these free digital logs will also allow you to include your activity level during the day, what you do for work, if it's passive, if you're on your feet during the day, as well as your exercise. You can kind of gauge and compare the inventory of in versus out in terms of calories. That's one side of the thing. The other side is the quality of the foods that you're eating. If you're having trouble dropping weight, or you're just not feeling strong while you're running, it could have something to do with how you feel your body day to day. You know, eating smaller, more frequent meals is one way to kind of boost your metabolism. Having well-balanced meals with fruits and veggies and protein, and even healthy fats, avocado, olive oil, that kind of thing. Skipping meals is the quickest way to gain weight, because it lowers your metabolism and can decrease your performance for your next workout because you're lacking that energy. Think of your car and how it runs. If you run out of fuel, the car simply can't move. If you put dirty fuel into the tank or no fuel at all, the car isn't going to run efficiently, and our bodies are the same. Food is fuel and the ticket to your next strong running workout, as well as your recovery. And everybody's different, so it's so important to figure out, log for the next couple of weeks what's going into your body and how you respond to it. Keep your foods clean with short list of ingredients, no more than five, and things that you can pronounce if there is an ingredient list. The cleaner that you eat, the more frequent that you eat, the better foods that you eat, the more balanced that you eat, you're going to figure out what recipe works best for you when you're going to be running on high octane gas. Whether you do this online or in a journal, keeping track of your running workouts and your exercise in general is an effective way to track your progress and develop your personal running recipe. What works for you? Useful bits of information to log include your running time or your run-walk ratio, the terrain that you're on, whether you're on a treadmill or outside on hills or a flat gravel course, your shoes, the model of your shoes when you bought them, the miles on those shoes, your mood, your energy level, the effort level and the calories consumed versus expended. All those things can really help. You may not see or feel the day-to-day progress, but when you log it, you'll see it over time, and that will keep you motivated along the way. And finally, a few race day tips for that first 5K. Rest up the week of the race. It may not seem intuitive to do that. You may want to squeeze in that last workout, but truly running easy and short workouts the week of the race is going to allow your body to kind of rest and rejuvenate from the season of training and toe the line as strong as possible. So make sure you rest up. That might include three runs during that week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, if the race is on Saturday and you're resting the other days completely. You might run 20 to 30 minutes based on the schedule that you're doing, but short, easy effort runs and rest days during that week so that you're toeing the line nice and refreshed. The night before the race, put on what you plan to wear in the race, your bib number and all, your costume if you're going to wear one, and anything you plan to wear on the race, put it on completely, take it off, and lay it out. This will streamline your race day morning logistics and keep you cool as a cucumber. Get there early. There's nothing worse than having the gun go off when you're in the car or in the porta potty. There are already enough nerves to go around for a first-time event, so be kind to yourself and show up at least 1 hour before the race starts, because this is going to allow you plenty of time to roll through the porta potty several times if you need it, find the start-finish area, and ease into the moment. Take your mark. Unless you're out there to win the race or improve your performance or win your age group, which doesn't cover us because this is a first-time 5K webinar, line up with people that look like you. Line up in the middle to the back of the pack so that you're not going to get caught up in the front and go out way too fast. Standing too close to the front can cause a crash and burn moment within the first mile. That is, you get caught up in running everybody else's pace but your own, and you have the half mile race of your life, and then it's downhill from there. Line up to the middle to the back of the pack and ease into the start of that race. Focus, grasshopper. Breathe deeply from your belly. Remember why you're running this race and visually break the 5K distance into four mini races. The first mile, second, third, and the final 0.1 miles. When the gun goes off at the start, focus on reaching that first mile, upright and with a smile on your face. Then focus on number two and focus on number three and focus on the finish line from there. Before you know it, you'll be sad the race is almost over and shocked at how quickly it flew by. I promise you. Breaking the total sum of the 5K into smaller digestible pieces keeps you from being overwhelmed and completely stressed out. Be the tortoise, not the hare. The easiest way to a beautiful finish line photo is to pace yourself from the very start of the race. This is the hardest part of running races, and seasoned and newbies alike struggle with this. But if you take that race, the four parts that I just mentioned, and color code them with yellow for mile one, orange for mile two, red for mile three, and fire, yes, fire is a color, for that final 0.1, and then run by that color rather than your watch. Remember, your body doesn't know pace, it knows effort. When you run by your breath and keep it easy or in that yellow zone for the first mile, you should be able to talk if you can't slow down. For mile two, take it to that orange zone, or at an effort level that's a little bit harder than yellow, or where you can hear your breath, but you're not gasping for air. And as you pass mile two, pick it up slightly and head for mile three. This is what you've paid for, and it's time to go fishing. This is when you cast out your invisible hook and catch a runner ahead of you and reel them in. Please do it nicely. There is nothing more empowering than to be able to pass people in the final stages of the race. It's really challenging to do, but when you start off by pacing yourself early on by your body, it works every time. When you hit mile 3, run tall, keep your effort, and prepare yourself for that finish line dance. When you have the patience to pace yourself from within, from the start, you will have the strength to finish like a superhero. Stroll, pinch, and drink. Hydration is an important element to your racing success, and it's best to invest a few seconds to get the fuel in you rather than on you. Pay attention to how the aid stations are set up on the course. Is the water first or the sports drink? How many tables are there? As you run into the aid station, it's best to stay in the middle of the road, listen to what they're calling for, water or sports drink. Make eye contact with that volunteer. Walk, grab that cup, pinch it, and drink it. Once it's down the hatch, get back into your running tempo and on your way. If you have the energy, thank the volunteers for being out there, because the races would not exist without the kindness of these volunteers. Run the tangents. The shortest distance between two points is a straight or somewhat curvy line. As you make your way through the 5K, be on the lookout for turns and curves and avoid taking the scenic way around, the longest way around, as it can add distance to your race and you're not going to get credit for 6K, you're going to get credit for 5K. It's also a great way to stay mindfully engaged as you navigate the course. And finally, celebrate every finish. You only get to run your first 5K once a lifetime. Take it all in, run for the finish rather than the watch, and celebrate your accomplishment. You've definitely earned it. Thank you for watching or listening to this webinar. Good luck with your training and in your first 5K. And if you have any questions, please remember to post those on livestrongfitness.com.